starting point today. Three years ago, if you were a part of New Hope, now not a huge number of people here were, but back at 23 North Union Street 3 years ago, I played that song as the introduction to the 11 principles videos. It was a part of a video series and then a teaching point that I did. You will find them to be familiar because you see them every day when you leave here. When you walk out of these doors, as you look at that front wall of our church building, you see the 11 principles of hope is what we decided to call it. And so these are simply some principles that through the years of ministry, years of counseling, years of living, years of being a husband and a father, making some mistakes, doing some things right, and the culmination of all that brought me to some truths through God's word and through different experiences that I just tried to put into simple word form that are principles that I believe that our church and frankly, I believe that the Christian life is, they're simple things that if we will do them, I think they will help us to have a much better Christian life. Now, these principles are something that I talked about then, and I'm revisiting them now. So for the next, starting today and for the next 10 weeks after today, I'm going to talk about these 11 principles of hope because I want to revisit that for those of you who have come since then. These are the things that, honestly, they're the foundational principles. Now, I'm not taking the place of the Word of God. They're all rooted in Scripture. But they're what this ministry is built on. They're what we're about. And as we have now entered into a new phase of our church life, we are now New Hope Delaware. And many of you got to sign that charter. Not that the old isn't still good. That's still a part of our history, and it's a part of everything, and everybody that was a part of that. But we have defined clearly what our direction is. These principles sort of define how we believe, what we believe that God wants. And that first one that song you just heard is a great example of the first principle of hope. So let me give it to you what it is. Here it is, in word form. Jesus loves you just the way you are. But he doesn't want any of us to stay the way we are. This was a transformative thought that God gave to me about 6 years ago, and it changed the way that I saw ministry. It's changed the way I saw what the real mission of the church is. And it also ended up changing my employment. And so, because it led me down a different direction. It led me in a direction opposite of the religious system that I was a part of. And it taught me some really, really amazing things. And so I want to go back to that today. I believe in our world there are foundations upon which things are built that make all the difference. And the same is true about foundational principles or foundational phrases even. Let me give you an example of something. Back in 1997, in the technology industry, there was a giant called IBM. You remember that name? And the International Business Machines. And this was their slogan. They had a slogan called Think IBM. That's what they put out on their logo, but it was sort of their catchphrase. And they would put that out a lot of their advertising. It was kind of the big thing. And they were the giant of technology at the time. There was another company that was trying to find its footing, trying to figure out who it was and where it fit and trying to, but always having to chase IBM, always having to try to be, try to catch that. And they came up with, their leader came up with a phrase himself. And honestly, it didn't fit at the time at all because they had no new technologies. They had no new real inventions of any kind. There was nothing cutting edge about them. They were just sort of a minor player, just sort of trying to figure out what it was all about. They came up with this phrase. It was called Think Different. And so he just put that out there. And it's odd because when he put that out there and said, this is going to be our slogan, again, they weren't doing anything different. They weren't really doing much of anything. But when he put this out there, it sort of caught. His researchers began to search different directions, began to look at some new ideas, began to look in different avenues. And some investors began to take notice, and they thought, okay, well, I want to see where this is going. And so some dollars began to come in for capital investment. And things began to change within that corporation. And that year, the Apple Corporation tripled its stock price. And, of course, since then, everybody's chasing Apple. Apple is the technological giant these days, and it's the standard that everybody else is chasing. Now, why do I use that? Because it was just a phrase. It was a phrase that when people stopped and really thought about what it meant and really began to say, look, I wonder what could we do if we did what that says? If we really got a hold of that, really understood it, what could happen? And we see, of course, you know, what did happen. Now, in the same way then, you know, I got to thinking about the fundamental principle then for our church is what I believe to be this first principle. And so when I gave you the principle of that says that Jesus loves us, Jesus loves you just the way you are, but he doesn't want any of us to stay the way we are. I believe that is the foundational principle. It has two parts. The first part, if we don't get the first part, then you'll never really come to Jesus. If you'll never really meet Jesus. If you don't believe that Jesus loves you just the way you are, you will never come to him. If you don't get the second part, you'll never grow. If you don't get this second part, that he doesn't want any of us to stay the way we are, then we'll never grow. And so I want to talk about these two things today. And so I'm going to develop these thoughts, and it's really a very simple message. This is 21 very simple words. You know, only two of those have more than one syllable. It's very simple words, but the meaning and the power in it, I believe, is quite great. So let me develop this. Number one, then, the first part, you see it right there. Jesus loves you just the way that you are. Now, I'm afraid sometimes that I say that so often here that it gets lost on you. I'm afraid that those of you who have heard it dozens and dozens of times, that it just sort of, you just sort of gloss over, yeah, we know that's true. Yeah, Jesus loves us just the way we are. Wait a minute. Please listen to me. As if you're hearing it for the very first time. Jesus loves you just the way you are. The key word there is are. Present tense. Right now. Jesus loves you just the way you are right now. Now, I say that, and I emphasize that, because there are some that are going to say, well, Jesus loved me a couple of years ago because I was doing much better. No. Shut up. No, Jesus loves the way you are. He loves you just the way you are right now. I didn't say he's thrilled with the way you're living. What I said was, he loves you just the way you are. Right now. I mean, right now. You know, Jesus loves you the way you are, even if you don't believe in him. We have seen some, I'm so personally encouraged in the last few months. We've seen some families come, a couple of families have come, and been a lot of, honestly, disbelief and skepticism, and they've come and it's like, well, you know, whatever, I'll try this thing, but I don't believe any of that stuff. And have come and said, you know what, okay, now that's not what I thought Jesus was. That's not what I thought church was supposed to be. And I'm so encouraged by that. And but you know something? Even when somebody doesn't even believe in Jesus, he still loves them just the way they are. Well, how could he love an atheist? I'll tell you how he could love an atheist, because he loves people just the way they are. That means he loves the homosexual just the way they are. Not nearly as many amens on that, Brother Kip. Why is it that when I say, okay, if I said Jesus loves the addict just the way he is, I'll get amens all over the room. When I say Jesus, you know, I say, even when I say Jesus loves the atheist, amen. Jesus loves the homosexual just the way he is. See, because you think I'm implying that he's okay with that he's okay with the sin. That's not what I said. I said he loves you just the way you are. Right now. Well, he can't love me right now because I'm backslidden. Whatever, that's a Bible word. That's a churchy word for those of you who didn't know. If you didn't grow up in a Baptist church, what that means is you used to be perfect and you're not anymore. What it really means is you used to live the way all the rest of us pretend like we live, but now you're openly not living that way anymore. Right? That's what it really means. So, I want you to understand, Jesus loves you just the way you are. Jesus loves you if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. He loves you. He loves you if you don't believe in him. He loves you if you, you know what? He even loves you if you curse him. You know, there are people that have cursed God. There are people who have blamed God. God took away my spouse. God took away my children. God broke my life. God, Jesus still loves that person just the way they are. Do you get it? No, I mean, do you really get it? God, this is absolutely foundational if we're going to go anywhere. If you've trusted Christ, but you've sinned since you did, did you know he loves you just the way you are right now? No, I used to sing in a church choir, and now I'm living this kind of lifestyle, and I've got this issue, and I've got this issue. That is not what the issue is. Jesus loves you just the way you are right now. That's the first part of this message. See, Jesus, here's the key. So let me give you this. I don't want to belabor that, but I feel like it's one of those things that you No matter how many times I say it, you still don't get it. Kind of like your parents are with your children. How many times do I have to tell you? Well, apparently one more. Here's the thing. Jesus' love for us has zero to do with us. This is the point. His love for me has nothing to do with me. It's not about me. You see, Jesus' love for me is an expression not of what I do, but who he is. He loves me no matter what state I'm in. He loves me no matter, unless I'm in Michigan. Wrong kind of state. He loves me no matter where I'm at in life. He loves me if I'm doing great and I'm going the right direction. He loves me if I'm going the wrong direction. He loved me long before I ever trusted him. And he loves me when I'm old and so proud that I don't think I need him anymore. Boy, I hope I never get there. Would you please kill me if I ever get to that point? Dave said, yep, no problem. Listen, you know, it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with you. And if you think that Jesus doesn't love you just the way you are, the problem is you still think it's about you. You still think that he looks at you and then decides whether or not he loves you. And that's not how it works. He decided to love you when he hung on a cross. In fact, let me just show you some scripture here. I mean, this is church after all. Look at the book of Romans. See, listen, people have always questioned whether or not God really loved them. People have always questioned that. We've oftentimes questioned that. You know, what if God really loves me? How could God love me? Notice this scripture. But God proved his love for us. Right? He proved it. In that, look at those next five words. While we were yet sinners. Do you see what that means? He said, look, I'll prove to you that I love you. I will die for you before you deserve it. And by the way, we're never going to deserve it. So that was a pretty easy part for him. He said, while you are still in the condition that you're in right now, Christ died for you. He said, I'll prove to you that I love you in that while you're still in the middle of your addiction, while you're still in the, when you're getting ready to do that thing that the Bible clearly says is wicked, I'm still going to die for you. Still going to die for you. Because his love for us has nothing to do with us or what we do. Nothing. Of course he doesn't want us to stay that way. Listen, if you came, so what I'm going to say now is going to sound a little negative, but please take it the right way. If you came in this morning feeling like you're maybe away from God a little bit, and you think, I got to go to church, so maybe Jesus will love me just a little bit more. Yeah. No, he doesn't. He doesn't love you one iota more for coming to church today. You know why? Because he can't. He can't love you any more than he already did. That doesn't mean he's not thrilled that you're here. He is thrilled you're here. At this point, you might not be thrilled you're here, but he's thrilled you're here. Because he said, my love for you was the same as it was when you were born, as 10 years ago, as when you made that terrible mistake, when you wrecked your life, when you cursed me, when you did this awful thing, when you got that bad habit, and even when you walk into church today. He said, my love for you stays the same because I stay the same. And his love for us is that way. He will never love you any more than he does right now. See, you cannot earn Jesus' love. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm not just repeating myself over and over again. This is going somewhere. You cannot earn any more love from Jesus. If you come to church to try to earn more love from Jesus, it's not working. You're wasting your time. Now, you should come anyway. I'll get to that part. But if that's why you're coming, your thinking's wrong. Because he can't love you any more than he already does. Now, I hope that's some hope to those of you who beat yourself up all the time. There are some of you, you constantly beat yourself up. You constantly remind yourself, and I talked last night with this anxiety talk, your mind is toying with your emotions. Your mind is telling you all the reasons why nobody should love you. And guess what? There is a lot of, look, none of us are going to have to work very hard to find reasons why nobody should love us. Amen? I don't have to try very hard to come up with many, many reasons why people would not love me. Don't say amen, Doug. Quicker on the draw. That was so slow. It was lame at that point. No. Listen, Jesus can't love you any more than he already does. You can't earn it. You can't earn more love. It's vital to understand this because otherwise, and please hear me correctly, otherwise to think that Jesus could love you more if you do more for him is actually an insult to him. It's an insult to him. Because what you're saying is, well, Jesus, I know you said you love me, but if I just do some things, you'll love me more. If I take care of some things, you know, in my life, then you'll love me more. I'll change this and I'll change that. Look, too many people have a religious plan. If you came in here with a religious plan, or maybe you came to New Hope with a religious plan, here's our religious plan. All right, so my religious plan is this. All right, well, right now, I really like my sin. So I'm going to do this for a while. I'm going to enjoy some life, and then in a few years, I'm going to start kind of changing some things. I'm going to stop doing this, or at least I'm not going to do it as much, or at least I'm not going to do it openly. And then I'm going to change this, and I'm going to straighten up this part of my life, and I'm going to clean up this part of my life, and I'll start coming to church, and I'll start doing some things, and eventually I will get to the point where I am worthy for Jesus to love me. Look, that's a religious plan many of us have, right? Our thought was, I've got to change this so that I'll deserve Jesus' love. Guess what? It didn't work. If you think that you got to the place where you deserve Jesus' love, you're deluded. You're deluded. We don't deserve Jesus' love, no matter what we do. But I think that's the religious plan a lot of us have. A lot of us have this plan that, you know, okay, let me ask you something. Trying to fix yourself so that you are good enough for Jesus to then accept you is kind of like, how many of you are aware that I have a brain tumor? Some of you may not be aware of that. For those of you who were not aware of that prior to this, this should explain a lot of things for you. Now listen, a few years ago I was diagnosed having a brain tumor. What would you have thought if I'd come to you and said, you know, Sherry, listen, I got this tumor. It's around my optic nerve. I am a little embarrassed to go to the surgeon with it this bad. You got any really long needle nose pliers I can borrow? They went through my nose to get to it. Now, can you imagine what kind of an idiot would say, well, look, I can't go to the surgeon like this. So I'm going to get some of that out myself. I'm going to take care of some of that tumor myself. You know, I know how they're going to do it. They're going to go in, they're going to drill a hole. They went up through my nose and they cut some bone out. And then they took these long things. Some of you are going, would you think that I was the biggest idiot in the world if I had done that? Why do you think you can clean yourself up to make yourself more presentable to Jesus? You don't fix yourself before you come to Him. You know, it doesn't work like that. You know, every part of your salvation that you think somehow you can earn is a declaration that you don't really need Jesus so much. See, if we think, well, I've got to clean this part of my life up and clean this part of my life up, what we're really saying is we don't really need Him for all of it. You know, there's too many, listen, and I'm going to tell you something, there's too many churches that teach. That's exactly what's supposed to happen. There's way too much religion that teaches that in order to be loved by Christ, there are certain things you have to fix first. Anybody know what those things are? You didn't go to church like that, I guess. Yeah, listen, they've got them. I can't find it in the Bible anywhere. I keep searching, I keep reading, I keep trying to figure it out. I can't find it in there anywhere, but I'm told constantly there's this list of things that you have to clean up. You know, God is certainly not going to save a homosexual. Again, why is that issue so touchy? Well, God, they've got to change first. Yeah, why don't you try to untattoo yourself? You think about it. Try that one. Can you do that? Yeah. Look, You can't do that. Well, you can't even do it. You can't untattoo yourself. You can take your skin off, but you can't untattoo yourself. You know, you've got to fix this part of your life. Well, you've got to figure out some way to not be divorced anymore. You got to figure out how to not be a single parent anymore. Well, it doesn't work like that. You got to unpregnant yourself. It doesn't work like that. But there's way too many that teach in that. Well, you know, you can't do all these things. You know, you can't be this, you can't be that, you can't drink, you can't smoke, you can't cuss, you can't have long hair if you're a man, you can't have short hair if you're a woman. You got to fix those things before Jesus will love you. That is. Sorry. Yeah, you're welcome. It's a little hot in here. It's a mist. It's a holy mist. With a couple of pieces of donut in it. You're welcome. You got both parts of communion right there. Fixing yourself is not what Jesus is after. You know, we have, if you're, regardless of where your relationship with, I'm going to lose control of this, aren't I? Regardless of where your relationship with Jesus is right now, here's the thing, and I'm going to move on to the second point. The second point's not nearly as long. Could you hear that back there? She said, oh, good. So, yeah, I know. Get her out of here. She's going to Tennessee. It doesn't matter where you are on the, if there is such a thing as a spectrum of Christianity, about where you are with Christ. Okay, let's just do this. Tony, would you stand up for a minute? Tony's got it all together. Tony's this perfect righteous Christian. Just step right there. Sherry, can you stand?
I can stand.
Okay. Well, I mean, you've spent time in a nursing home. I didn't know. Just stand right there. You don't have to show yourself to the crowd. You can look at me. I mean, okay, whatever. Diane, would you stand up? Johnny, would you stand up? All right, so watch. So Tony's got it all together. I mean, Tony is the picture of Christianity. He prays. He reads his Bible. He looks. He prays and he reads his Bible. You know, and Sherry has gotten some victory in some things, and she's working on that. Now, Johnny's just recently started even believing in Jesus. And Diane hates Jesus. Actually, we'll let you be the one who's recently started believing in Jesus, and you're just the one who you're actually an atheist. Diane. Listen, in our eyes, an atheist is better than somebody who hates God, right? I mean, Diane cusses him. Diane blames him for everything. Diane just hates everything. Wait, I was thinking about Tom for a minute. Sorry. God. No. She hates God. She curses God. Blames God for everything evil in the world. Janya is an atheist. Doesn't believe yet. Sherry's just recently come to Christ. And Tony is this epitome of Christianity. Which one does Jesus love the most? All of them. The same. He loves them all the same. Exactly the same. He loves Tony. But not because Tony is praying and reading his Bible and putting money in the offering plate and all that. None of those change Jesus' love for him at all. Because he loved Tony when he was just in the same place that Sherry is in, exactly the same amount. He loves Sherry as much as he loves Tony, and he loved Tony the exact same amount that he loved him when he was doing what Sherry did. Did you get all that?
Yeah.
Can you fill it in? Can you just fill it in? If I just do this, can we move on? Look, he loves Janya, even though she doesn't believe in him. The same as he loves Tony. And he even loves Diane, even though she hates him. See, he loves them all equally. Now, give me one more second, you all can sit down. He loves them all equally. So wherever your relationship is with Jesus right now, it will never go further, though, until we get this second point, which is he doesn't want any of us to stay the way we are. Janya is the way she is right now. She is an atheist. And he loves her that way. Does he want her to stay that way? No. Diane hates God, curses him. She's one of these that she's so vocal about how, you know, religion's a crutch and churches are all filled with hypocrites and all those things. And God is a horrible person. I believe in him, but I hate him. Jesus loves her just the way he is, does he not? Jesus loves her just the way she is, does he not? Yes, he does. He does. Does he want her to stay that way? No. Jesus loves Sherry. She's just recently come to Christ. She just started believing. She's making some changes in her life, but she's growing. She's still doing a lot of really stupid things. She still does a lot of things that aren't right. A lot of sin in her life. A lot of sin in her life. A lot of sin in her life. Dear God. No. Sorry, I got fixated on Sherry again. She's just a picture now. But does he love her just the way she is? Yes or no? Yeah. Does he love her the same as he loves Diane? Yes. How about Tony? Yeah, the same. Does he want her to stay here? No, he wants her to grow. That's all. He just wants her to grow. And he loves Tony just the way he is as well. But he's cool with Tony. Tony's good. Tony's arrived, right? God's cool with Tony just the way he is. There is? Wait a minute. He already prays. He fasts every night from 9 p.m. until 7 a.m. Every night, right? 7:30. Every day. Listen, he gives. He serves. God still wants him to grow? He's a deacon. He's a pastor. Does God still want him to grow? So watch. So what does God want from all of them? He wants the exact same thing. All he wants them to do is turn toward him and take one step. You all are not picking up what I'm putting down here. He just wants them to turn and take one step toward him. Tony? You see, this is the way the proud, this is how... I don't need to do that. You tell me what to do. I'm a deacon. I'm righteous. Yeah, he wants the same thing we're all... All right, so now watch. So now they've all taken one step. Who is he most proud of? All of them the same. They're all the same. He just didn't want any of them to stay where they were. He's not saying now, Tony is better than the rest of them. Look, you know what? He doesn't even ask Sherry, I wish you'd be more like Tony. I wish you'd be more like Tony. He doesn't say that. He says, don't you worry about Tony. Don't you worry about Janya. You worry about you. Just take a step toward me. Just move a little closer to me. That's all I want you to do. Okay. And that's what... He's not saying to Janya, you know, if you don't believe in me soon, I'll show you. I'll give you... I'll put something in your life. You'll believe in me then. I'll put you in a foxhole. I wonder what children think of that, if I said that. But we all get the whole foxhole thing, right? I wonder what children think of that. He's going to shove me in. Yeah, he just, stop it. Listen, all he wants us to do, he just, thank you, you all can sit down. The point is, all they did was stand there. What's the big deal? I'm doing all the work. He just wants us all to be a little bit more like him. And what Diane, and the step that, if Diane goes from being so angry, bitter, and hateful, Jesus would be thrilled if she would just have a Christian come into her life and say, I'm so sorry that we have portrayed you, Jesus, that way to you. And she just takes a little step, and Jesus would be so happy about that. He wouldn't love her anymore, but he'd sure be happy to see her, to see somebody help her just take a little bit closer step. He'd be happy if she were a little bit closer to being an atheist. Just keep moving that way. This is kind of that principle that we talk about a lot around here, that sort of is a corollary to this one, that Jesus doesn't care where you've been. He just cares what direction you're going. And that's what this is really all about. You know, now there's some that could say, okay, but if Jesus loves me just the way I am, then why doesn't he just accept me just the way I am and just let me stay this way? It's a legitimate question. Let me ask you something. Is there anybody in here that's maybe an Ohio State Buckeye football fan? Anybody? 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 Would you be, do you love them? Would you like, I'm talking to the people who raised their hands. Look, would you be thrilled if they had exactly the same season this year as they had last year? Why not? You love them. Wait a minute. You mean you love them, but you want them to be better? But if you love them, you should accept them just the way they were last year. You should be happy if they're just the same. No, that's right. You can still love them, but want them to be better. How many of you parents, you love your children? How many of you parents, you don't love your children? Okay. Look, you're happy with their school. You say, well, are you satisfied that they learned something in school last year? Yes? Okay. You gonna let them stay home this year? Well, you said you love them and you're happy, you're content with where they were in school last year. But you love them. You should love him just the way he was, only with that much education. Wait, you just said no. Yeah. You still love him, yes. Yeah, I have you turned around. Have you twisted all around? Yeah. I know. Because I had planned ahead of time. So, look, you're not going to hold back. You're not going to put them back in the same grade, are you? Because when you love somebody, you want them to grow. Jesus loves you just the way you are. He just doesn't want you to stay the way you are. You know, Jesus isn't concerned about where you are in life right now, just what direction you're going. But see, we tend to look at people and we judge their holiness, don't we? See, we judged these four people up here. We judged that Tony was holy. Tony's the spiritual one. Tony's the one God's happy with. Actually, if we put Sherry here, and she had just recently come to Christ, and she's starting to learn, she's starting to figure out some things that God likes, some things that God doesn't like, some things that are right, some things that are wrong, and she's trying to move that direction, still got a whole bunch of baggage, a whole bunch of wrong things she's doing. Cusses like a sailor and drinks and smokes and all these horrible sins that no real Christian does. It's okay. They don't listen to rock music. You know, no Christian does that. Or country music. Hey. You know, it's all about divorce and it's all about, you know, divorce and drinking and dogs. So, and trucks. So, what was I talking about? Oh, okay. So look, so she's starting to make some changes. And Tony, he doesn't think he needs to make any changes. Because after all, he's already doing everything right. Now, who, according to that verse, is God pleased with? Okay. This should be, thank you. I thought it was obvious. Sherry. Why? Because he didn't care where they're at. He cares about where are you today based on where you were yesterday. What direction are you going? Give me the drug addict who cusses like a sailor, still trying to figure everything out, and is messing up and constantly in trouble and constantly doing these things, who's trying to get closer to Jesus than the 80-year-old pastor who doesn't think he needs Jesus anymore. See, Jesus told a story about that once. He said there was, let me just say this. Did you know that Jesus is not impressed by any of our righteousness? You know, I'm using Tony's illustration. He does not think that much of himself. But listen, we think sometimes, we get so self-righteous sometimes, we think, I got all these things right in my life. Well, I'm not like I used to be. Man, I'm so glad I'm not right like I used to be. I got this right in my life. But look, Jesus, check it out. Check me out. Look what I'm doing. I'm a deacon. I'm a pastor. I'm a ministry leader. I'm going to church every week. I never miss church. I put money in the offering plate. Check it out, Jesus. You know, and we think by comparison that we're so righteous. Can I show you what he thinks of the best righteousness we can put out there? Take a look at the book of Isaiah. He said, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now listen, that's not his, he is not saying you're, he didn't say you're filthy rags. He said, your righteousnesses are filthy rags. He said, compared to my righteousness, the best thing you do, the best things you do, they don't measure up. I'm not impressed by your righteousnesses. But what I am impressed by is if you're taking a step from wherever you were. Take one more step. Get a little closer to me. Do one more right thing. Try to just be a little bit kinder. Be a little bit nicer. Do all these things. God isn't impressed by our righteousness. And here's how Jesus summed it up in this story, and then I'll wrap this up. There were two men who came to the Wailing Wall to pray. One was called a Pharisee, that's a religious leader, and the other was called a publican, that was a tax collector, and that was the worst of the worst of the worst. Everybody hated the tax collectors. So the publican comes, the tax collector, he comes, and the Bible says he got before the wall, and he would hit himself, he would beat himself in the chest, and he would say, God, I am so sorry, I am filthy. I can't imagine how you, in fact, he couldn't even look up, the Bible says. He said, I can't imagine how you could, but if you could forgive me, please do it. I've got all these things in my life that are horrible. I'm a terrible person. Please forgive me. And the Pharisee was over there taking a look, and he said, wow, God, I'm sure glad I'm not like him. And I pray and I fast. And I think God looked down and said, I wish so much you were like him. See, if we come in, that guy right there, if you came into church with that kind of an attitude and said, God, look, I know I'm messed up. God, just change me however you can today. If you can change me a little bit today, please do it. If you can change my bad attitude a little bit today, please do it. If you can help me be a little bit more forgiving, please do it. If you can help me, God, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to change me, please do it, God. You will walk out of here already better than you came in a white robe, spiritually speaking, in a white robe. If you come in here today with the attitude if I come in with the attitude that Pharisee has, thinking that I don't have anything to change, I'm good the way I am, I've done all these things, and I got so much to teach other people and all that, and I don't have anything else to learn. You're going to walk out of here in the same filthy rags you came in. Well, thank you to the three of you who agreed with that. But see, the stoic and proud and sanctimonious, all those things, Jesus has no use for that. Because he said, yeah, you know what? I'm glad you got those things right in your life. But I'm not impressed by it. I'm glad that you've read your Bible through three times this year. But I'm not impressed by it. I'd be impressed if you lived some of it. I'd love it if you'd lived some of it. But he said, that's not impressive to me. What's impressive to me, what I want to see, is just take wherever you are, realize that I love you just that way, and just move a little bit closer to me. That's our foundational principle. Jesus loves, by the way, you know Jesus loves that Pharisee. So if that's you, Jesus still loves you just the way you are. He just doesn't want you to stay that way. He doesn't want me to stay that way. He just wants us all to move a little bit closer to him. So what should we do today? And we're done. Well, first of all, would you believe this? Would you please just take that truth and believe it? That Jesus loves you just the way you are. Believe it, because he said it. Remember, it's not about you. It's about him. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, believe that he wants you to. And he's not asking you to give, he's not asking you to change anything. He wants you just the way you are. In time, he'll change all those things. Listen, let me just say, these churches that preach and Christians who preach and teach that God loves you just the way you are, and he'll keep you saved and once you've trusted him, as long as you don't do this man-made list of things, that's garbage. Jesus loves you just the way you are, and he just wants you to move up. That has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is about realizing that he loves you just the way you are. Christian growth after that's a whole different issue. Whole different issue. So would you please trust him as your Savior? And then today, if you're a Christian, can you honestly say, I am open. I'm open. Jesus changing. I'm open. If there's something you want me to change, I'll change it. And I promise you this, he will not ask you to change anything that's going to hurt you or that you're going to miss. Again, I talked last week, we get this idea, well, Jesus is going to make me give up this and give up this and give up this and give up all the fun. It's not going to be like that. You'll know when he wants you to give those things up when you don't care about those things anymore. But until then, he's cool with you just saying, okay, well, how about if you read a verse? You know, somebody's going to get upset with me about this. This comes out of a conversation I had with somebody that said that, you know, God has to look away when a Christian smokes a cigarette or takes a drink or watches a bad movie or something like that. God has to look away. And we were just talking through it. Can I just make a suggestion to you? If that's your, light your cigarette, open your beer, go sit on your back porch and pray. Now listen, if God doesn't strike you dead, then he's okay with you where you are right now. He said, I'm glad to hear from you. We'll deal with that later. We'll deal with that later. See, don't you just love to pick out other people's hands? See, we think that God ought to deal with people like that. He said, well, you need to give that up. You need to quit that. But he doesn't expect any of us to give up our pride or any of those other things. Or a pork chop. So, Jesus loves you just the way you are. What does God want you to do today to not stay that way? Let's pray. Father, thank you.